we started out on God's power through our kindness. And there were a couple of verses that we hit that were quite important, I thought, because this whole world is chasing after the things of this world, thinking that success means having a big bank account. Success means being popular with others. Success means being a big sports star or a great singer or whatever, success in business or whatever. And the Lord tells us that's not success at all, because that's going to last how long? Maybe 70, maybe 80 years at the most, and it's going to be gone, gone, gone. The Lord tells us in Galatians 5, 6 what really matters. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And we said this morning, if the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, we better find out how to express our faith through love. Extremely important, because the whole world is missing the whole point of what their life is about. We think it's all about stuff. I remember when I was a young man, well, a little bit older man, I think it was in the early 70s, but in any event, the sign on the cars used to say, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Well, folks, I got to tell you, he who dies with the most toys does not win. It's the one who gave away the most. The one who served the most is the one that's going to win. This morning we said, since the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, we better learn how to express our faith through our love. And we said that unless you give love away, it's not going to work. Love must be given before anything happens. And so we read John 3:16, which said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And that's what we have to start doing all through the days of our life. We mentioned this morning that oftentimes in this life we get envious of others because they seem to have what we don't have or what we wish we had. And we said the way to avoid envy is to go to the potter's house. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "Yet, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We're all the work of your hands." And what the Lord is saying to us, and we talked about this morning, was that we don't dare compare ourselves with other clay pots. Every single pot that God has ever made, every human being, man or woman, boy or girl, is totally unique. And he doesn't want you to be somebody else. If he wanted you to be somebody else, he would have made you somebody else. He made you to be the unique person that you are, to take the gifts and the abilities and the talents and the temperament that he gave you to show his love to others. Because that's what this life is really about. Tonight we're going to look at trusting in the loving hands of our potter. Our God made us uniquely for a purpose. Many people spend their whole lives trying to find their purpose in life and don't realize if they would just ask the Lord, he'd be more than happy to show them. Extremely important we understand that. We need to trust his loving hands even when sometimes they cause us great pain. And often in life, the potter's hands, when he starts to reform us, it can hurt pretty good. The problem's not with a person with envy. If you envy somebody, the problem is not the envy itself. The envy is the fever, but the real root cause, the bacteria or the germs that are getting into you, is that you're not trusting God. If you would trust God with your life, you wouldn't have to envy anybody else, because he made you for a purpose. So what we're really doing is saying, God, I don't know if I can trust you with my life. You don't seem to be giving me what you gave to so-and-so. And I'm a little bit upset about that. I'd really like to have what they have too, and it's not fair. We talked this morning about viewing God as a cook that only has so many pieces of pie. And if somebody gets a little bigger piece of pie than I do, it's going to cost me. I hope you know that God has all the pie in the universe. It won't cost you a thing When somebody else gets a blessing, it's not going to cost you. When the Lord allows pain and suffering and sorrow in our lives, oftentimes we get really upset. We don't even think about the possibility that God is trying to reform us and reset us. In James chapter 1, verse 2, this is a very difficult verse of Scripture, and I'm still dealing with this one. I don't have this down all the way yet. It's getting better. But the Bible says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many of us do? Okay, we consider it pure joy every time you hit a problem. Today, my son went out to get our little Ford tractor. It's a diesel started, and he couldn't get it started, and I don't think he counted it as joy. All the time when things break down, do we count it joy? No, we say, this is against me. God says, trust me, it's for you. Because you know, and this is the problem we have, we don't know this, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so what we need to do when trouble comes is view ourselves on the potter's wheel. And the potter is seeing a lump of clay in us that's maybe hard, and he has to remove it. And anytime something is removed from our life, it's painful. You know, when the Lord gives us our children, we're rejoicing and happy. How do we do when he takes them away? It's heartbreaking. It's awful. We rejoice when we marry that young bride that we get, but then life happens and they age, and that young bride, sooner or later, she's going to go or we're going to go. And we love to get, but we hate to give up. And sometimes the Lord has to take things away from us so that he can shape us as a master potter does to be all that he made us to be. Jeremiah the prophet had to go through the same thing. Jeremiah was a prophet who prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, the downfall of the nation of Israel, and the people, his own family, hated him because he always prophesied what the Lord told him, and it was not good news. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, Jeremiah is told to go down to the potter's house. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. You see, the potter loves us just the way we are. Don't get me wrong. He has unconditional love for everybody in this room, no matter where you are in your life, no matter whether you're close to the Lord or far away from the Lord, he loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. His plan is Christ-likeness for every single person in this room. That's his primary plan. We keep thinking his primary plan is he wants me happy. That's not God's primary plan for our lives. And until we understand that, every time he touches us and it hurts a little bit, we get the idea God's against us. He's not. Change is painful. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more painful I find change being. I loved change when I was younger, but I'm not so crazy about it anymore. Things are changing in a direction that I'm not quite so crazy about. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he tells us, he says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so we look at God and we say, God, I think the reason you made me is you want me to be successful, you want me to be rich, you want me to be famous, you want me to be happy. And the Lord says, no, son or daughter, that's not why I made you. I made you because I want you to be like my son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes the difference between the two is very, very painful for us. Because Jesus said, I came for one primary purpose. I came to do the will of the one who sent me. And if our purposes are anything other than that, Potter may have to get pretty rough to convince us, no, you're not going the way that I made you. You're not trying to succeed in what I have for you. I think of John and Peter. Oftentimes we think that life is unfair. What God has for us, he has something better for somebody else. And I want us to look at John chapter 21 because it's so easy to get our eyes on somebody else's situation and think they've got a better deal from God than I do. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, he's talking to Peter here, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? And of course, that's John, the Apostle John. When Peter saw him, he asked the Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me. You see, what Peter did is he got his eyes on another pot. What about him? This isn't fair. And when Jesus said that, he said, because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, if I wanted to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? Our problem is we get focused on other people. We compare ourselves with others, and when life goes good for them and not so good in our view for us, we start to get envious. We start to get upset with God, and we begin to accuse him of being unfair to us. I don't know if you know this or not, but God has a different course for your life than he's ever had for anybody else's life in all eternity past and all eternity future. Each one of us has a different race to run. Each one of us are going to be different. And so when we get used to that, we start to focus on what's the potter's plan for my life. What does God want from Jerry Larkin? What does God want from you? And if you can keep your eyes on that, we aren't looking at everybody else and saying this isn't fair. We're focused on God's plan for us. We will oftentimes in our lives want to get off the potter's wheel because the Lord is shaping us in a way that we don't care to go. I tell you, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. And we have to understand that because if we don't, we're going to get frustrated with life. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and I've mentioned before and I'll mention again tonight, other than John 3:16, for the unbeliever, I believe these are the two key verses of Scripture. If you get these down and you understand them and you live them out, you're going to have a successful Christian life. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When you submit to God forming you and shaping you, and you're seeking to give your life to him, that's when he shows you what his purpose for you is. Do you know many Christians are going to die never knowing what God's primary use was for them? Why? Because instead of being renewed in their mind, they're allowing the world to conform them to this world. We talked about a man down in Georgia that's running for the Senate. And the man is opposed to God. He's a pastor, but he's for abortion. Folks, there's something wrong with that. We have to admit that people are focused on what they want often and not what God wants. We have to come to terms with this thing. Jeremiah says the potter made a vessel that seemed best to him, not best to the vessel. The vessel didn't get a choice. When my mom and dad had me, I didn't get a choice if I was going to be born and have hair all my life. I was born with the genes. When I got older, whoosh, 25 years old, the hair was gone. That's just the way it is. And you can either be content with what God has done, or you can fight against it forever, but you're not going to change it. So what we need to do is be changed by the potter. We need to submit. What happens to clay, a pot, when it's hardened? Because when you go through the furnace, you get hardened. What happens if the potter wants to change it then? Too late. Break it and start over. This is the idea. If we allow ourselves to be moldable, God will continue to work with us and he'll continue to change us all the way till we go home to heaven. But if we harden our hearts, I don't want what you want. And you're telling the potter, he's God. And you're telling him what you think. And God says, well, I guess I'm done trying to form this one. He or she has hardened their hearts. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's handiwork. God's an artist. He wants to make you beautiful for his glory. Now, the world may not think you beautiful, but that doesn't matter. If God thinks you're beautiful, you're beautiful. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, this isn't something that God's saying, well, I'll form you a little bit, and then I'll make a new plan, and you can do this work or that work. He had those works planned for you before you were ever even conceived. He had those plans worked out for you before he created life in the first place. The Bible says in the book of Acts, we don't have it in our notes, but the Bible says that all the works of God were done in his mind before one of them came to be. Nothing surprises our God. All kinds of things surprise us, but not him. Good works planned long ago for you and I to do. The reason so many Christians are so busy chasing after the things of this world is they've never realized God already had their life planned. Our job is to find out what that plan is. And the only way we're ever going to figure it out is being moldable for him to continue to teach us all through the days of our life. Because sometimes it's a long time before the plan comes to fruition. God had chosen Moses from before his birth to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. But Moses rebelled against it, and he spent 40 years in the wilderness where God could finally form him, where he was ready to go to work. And Moses didn't begin his primary work for the Lord until he was 80 years old. You don't want to work against God. It gets tough out in the desert. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, couple verses here I want to hit, and then we're going to move forward. But it says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We think the way to get to the top is to get a good education, get a super-duper job, become extremely rich, have servants serving us and the whole world saying, what a guy, what a gal. The Lord says, the first on this earth are going to be the last in heaven. If your whole life is about accumulating things and getting things for your own pleasure, when you get to heaven, what's going to be the reward? There's going to be nothing there. But if your whole life is spent in serving the Lord and serving people for his glory, you're not going to have a whole lot on this earth, but you're going to have a whole lot in heaven. I don't care how much you get on this earth, 70, 80, 90 years, maybe 100 at the very most, and you're going to lose it all. Jesus said, whatever you do in his name for his glory, you are never going to lose it. It's going to be yours for all eternity. So if you want to be great in heaven, what the Lord is saying is serve people down here. Look for how you can glorify your Lord down here. Don't get caught up in what the world says is great. Get caught up in what God says is great. In Matthew 6, verse 31, Jesus again speaking, he says, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As we continue to seek after Christ, and we continue to seek his kingdom, we're constantly trying to bring people into his kingdom and train those people how to serve Christ in a way that's acceptable, then our lives are going to make a difference for time and for eternity. So we need to stop striving after the things and the prestige of this world. We mentioned this morning about people who, when you were younger, were extremely famous or extremely wealthy. How many of them wound up with a life that you could say that was a life worth living? Not very many. Most of them committed suicide or got into drugs and destroyed their life or whatever. In Romans chapter 9, verse 25. Whoops. I got verse 25, Dave. You got verse 5. I'll just read it. That's all right. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people which are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who was not my loved one. You see, God delights in calling nobodies. When you got saved, how many of you were millionaire? I don't see any hands. How many of you were extremely famous in your communities? Everybody knew your name. None of us. Now, once in a great while, the Lord will call somebody that's noteworthy in this world. But most of the time, he loves to use people who have no reputation, no fame, no wealth, because that way, who gets all the glory? He does. It's not our intelligence, it's not our abilities, it's our God, and he loves to have it that way. Others in this life may abandon you, they may divorce you, they may disown you, but the good news is, if you're God's child, he never will. He's going to come after you. If you get out of hand, he's going to come after you to correct you, but he'll never disown you. When I was working in the shop, I went up to give blood one time. They had once every 2 or 3 months, they would come in and take a blood donation. And I went up, and as I lay down on the table they had there to give your blood on, I looked up, and up on the ceiling, they had a poster up there. And it was a poster of a little mongoloid girl. And under the poster, it said, God don't make no junk. You know, it doesn't matter what your situation in life is, God loves you, and he has a very special purpose for your life. And if you can keep your mind on that and not get caught up in this world and the things of this world, your life is going to have meaning eternally. The whole world may say, what a loser. They have nothing. And God says, he or she is one of my heroes. They're doing everything for my glory and for the good of their fellow man. They're raising their children to know me. They're spending their time in their community, calling people to faith in Christ, teaching them how to live, loving them, and growing with them. So no matter how you feel about yourself tonight, because oftentimes we let the world tell us what our worth is, remember what God thinks about you. God loves you just the way you are, too much to leave you the way you are, but he's going to mold you to Christ's likeness. And that's what we're all looking for. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the fact that you chose to love us enough to send your only begotten Son. Father, help us to love you enough to give our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. because it truly is only reasonable. Father, help us not to get our wealth or our ideas of usefulness and success from this world, but help us to look to your word of what you call a successful life. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.